Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. God is our refuge and our strength, a mighty help in times of trouble. For our Lord declares, I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me, though they die, yet shall they live. And anyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. And invites us, come unto me, all you who are labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. We gather together this afternoon to give thanks to God for the life of Kathy Wagner. We bring with us many emotions, a deep sadness at our loss, a sense of gratitude that the suffering of the last few years is past for Kathy, the frustration of never having enough energy is over. We feel comfort and joy in a wealth of cherished memories that we will share today. And above all, we have a deep and abiding gratitude that our lives were enriched by Kathy's lives. We come together this afternoon knowing Kathy is okay. We are the ones who are struggling. And so we come together to give comfort and to receive comfort. We gather together this afternoon then to remember and give thanks for Kathy's life, to draw near to God, and to find rest for our souls. I would invite you now to join in singing hymn number 464, Joyful, Joyful, We Adore Thee. You may be seated. Let us pray. Oh God, you have designed this world and know all things good for us. Give us such faith that by day and by night, in all times and in all places, we may, without fear, entrust those who are dear to us to your never-failing love in this life and the life to come. through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Our first scripture reading this morning is from the psalmist, Psalm 150. Listen for the word of the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty firmaments. Praise him for his mighty deeds. Praise him according to his surpassing greatness. Praise him with trumpet sound. Praise him with lute and harp. Praise him with tambourine and dance. Praise him with strings and pipe. Praise him with clanging cymbals. Praise him with loud clashing cymbals. Let everything that breathes praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And from the Gospel according to John, at chapter 14. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house, there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? And Jesus said to him, I am the way, and the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me. I have said these things to you while I am still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid.
And from Paul's letter to the church in Rome. We know that in everything, God works for good with those who love him and who are called according to his purpose. What then shall we say to this? If God is for us, who is against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, will he not also give us all things through him? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Is it Christ Jesus who died? Yes, who was raised from the dead, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed prays for us? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? No. No. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.
Thank you. Wow. Thanks for being here. I guess I knew this day was coming, but I was really hoping it wouldn't be this soon. This is probably one of the most difficult things I've ever done. But I want to thank everyone for being here. All the musicians, all of you guys. I was just thinking during the music, there's not probably a musician in this room who hasn't seen Kathy in the audience a dozen times, at least. She went to everything. She went to, I could be doing the dumbest gig in the world and she wanted to go. And there were even times I didn't tell her because they were bad. And it was like she wouldn't believe me when I said it was a waste of time to go. She would have gone anyway and then yelled at me later. But actually, that's not true. She would have said it was gorgeous, even if it wasn't. We did a burial at sea yesterday, and we were kind of talking on the boat. And one of the things that struck me is the amazing, she's like an anchor. I mean, there's groups of people that would never have met, never have hung out, never have known each other if it hadn't been for her. She just was a magnet. I remember some of the parties at her house. I couldn't believe some of the people that were there. it was just an eclectic group. And any of you who ever went to any of those barbecues in the afternoons, I remember I saw Dave Thorson out there earlier. Every one of those things, she had to pull out her little blue mat and do a magic trick for everybody that she had learned from Dave. There's people in this room that she's known for five decades or more. I don't want to get all flowery because I'll start crying. But I just want to say thank you all for coming. I don't envy Tracy having to go last because that's going to be tough. thank you all. And I really can't say what an inspiration it is to see all these people here remembering my sister. Thank you.
Thanks, Bruce. One second, Brad. So just want to, real quickly as Brad's coming up, remind everybody that God blessed us in our world on June 19th, 2017, when Alice Kathleen, known to all of us as Kathy, was born to Henry and Janice Wagner while they were living in Kentucky. Kathy was little sister to Lynn, big sister to Charlotte and Bruce. The family moved around the Midwest for Kathy's younger years before settling here in California when Kathy was somewhere around 14. As an adult, she trained as a histologist working at Anaheim Memorial Hospital and later for U.S. Labs, where she was known for her quality work and for her speed. If there was an important or time-sensitive job to be done, chances are it was given to Kathy. Additionally, she had a dressmaking business where she was an artist with a needle and thread. I suspect many in this sanctuary today first met Kathy because she sewed something for them. The docile behind me, that's Kathy's. Looks like a single piece of fabric, that red behind the cross, doesn't it? Three pieces of fabric that she painstakingly matched the pattern so that none of us can see where the seams are. Kathy could always see where the seams were, by the way. She was married briefly. She did want to have children. When that didn't work out, she found ways to create family in her own unique way. She raised Anne and John after her mother and their dear friend Rachel passed. She was a beloved aunt to Valerie, Lois, Brad, and Jessica. And then there were all of her choir kids, again, many here, who not only learned the joy of music from Kathy, but also had sleepovers at her house, parties, again, anytime she could open her house. Those are just the facts of her life. As Bruce has already started to remind us, there's so much more to this woman. And so in addition to these broad strokes and outlines, some other family members and friends are going to share the kind of woman that Kathy was to help us remember her more fully. And Brad is up next. So.
I'm Brad Wagner. There's a big step here. Get this out of the way. I'm her nephew. I'm Brad. I'm Bruce's son. I just want to echo what my dad said. Thank you for everybody who's here, family and friends, everybody who knew her. We really appreciate everybody's support today. I confess myself, I was a little nervous getting up here to speak. I've never had to do something like this, but I thought that Aunt Kathy would have done it anyway. So here I am. And to tell you the truth, I really struggled on the flight over here. When I sat down to try and put on paper what Aunt Kathy was to me, because it really isn't that simple. She was so many things to me and to so many other people in this room that not one of us can say everything that she was. To me, at first, she was kind of that wacky aunt that left goofy voicemails every holiday and birthday. That makes every kid kind of cringe, you know. The phone rings on Thanksgiving. The hello, gobble, 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 gobble. Hi, Aunt Kathy. Yeah, happy Thanksgiving. She never stopped being that right up until she died. She kind of privately took joy in being the wacky aunt, and she did that pretty well. But getting to know her beyond that was really one of the great privileges of my life. I moved in with her for a while when I was a teenager, which I think is an experience common to about a dozen people in this room. And I think, again, that's been mentioned, that speaks to the kind of person she was, how many different people she took into her home. But that's really when she became one of my best friends. It was pretty easy because there was never really a dull moment with her. But when we weren't Googling answers to Saturday morning crossword puzzles on the worldwide interwebs, or trying out martial arts moves in the living room until she inevitably ran into a piece of furniture and we had to stop. Or when we were talking about girl problems or wondering about God or solving world crises. She was my friend through all that, and even to a 14-year-old, she was a pretty kick-ass friend to have. And she never stopped being that for me either. And even while she was my friend, I didn't even realize until recently, when I was trying to get leave from the Army to come here to see her one last time, the Red Cross message got through to me in the mountains and when I was training, and that message said that her time was running short. And the Army asked me what my relationship to her was, and I said, well, you know, she's my aunt. And they asked me, well, did she help raise you like a parent? And I had to say yes, because that's how you get leave in the Army, as you say that. But when I went back to my bunk and I thought about it, I thought about stuff like over the years, like the little paper plate of buttered Eggo waffles that she would hand me on my way out the door, the only way to school, and her white knuckle in the passenger side door when I was learning to drive, and the huge bin of empty Tupperware containers that she filled with Pepsi cake and cookies and mailed to me all through college. And then later how she said she was trying to hold on long enough to see me through my graduation at West Point, and later through Ranger School. And that became ultimately her last goal for me. She was a parent to me too. Like any good parent, she was also a role model. And by that I mean she wasn't perfect. She had her flaws, and sometimes those taught me just as much as her strengths. For one, she was a worrier. There was all kinds of stuff that she didn't worry about, like getting literally lost at sea somewhere between the main the coast and Catalina. We don't really know where. With her friend Donna, she did that kind of stuff. Or jumping down in a hole inches in front of my dad, swinging a pickaxe, saying, quote, I'm just trying to help. None of that bothered her. She did it all the time. She worried about people. I used to think she worried about people to a fault. She would exhaust herself spending hours talking to my grandmother in gibberish as her mind began to leave her. She agonized over conflicting commitments she'd made to friends, family, the church, all kinds of people. And she made other people's problems her problems. But now that I'm older, I recognize that that is one of her most admirable strengths. She piled the problems of other people on her shoulders like Atlas. While we all warned her not to, she continued to pile on everyone else's problems, and the thing is, she never buckled, not once. She gave everything to everybody, and only really worried about what matters, and that's people. And I've taken lessons in life from all kinds of people, from teachers and professors to peers and colleagues to generals and warfighters, but the most important one is I'm taking that from Kathy Wagner of Kathleen's Dressmaking, is that people are the most important thing. And that really struck me as I sat down to write this. Now that I've told you all some of what she was to me, I'll say one thing about what she was to all of us. And I'm going to cheat. I'm going to plagiarize from my cousin Marilyn on this one, because she really said it best. She was our glue that kept so many of us together and close to each other over the years, whether it was here in this church or, you know, all over various places around the world, or under those Christmas light stars and that blue blanket that she called the sky on the back patio. She kept us all coming back there year in and year out. And I think to all of us, that's really what made her special. She will be sorely missed. But as has already been alluded to, her passage is really bittersweet. My Aunt Kathy is gone, but that glue that I talked about is already set, and for that, I and the rest of us should be eternally thankful. Thank you.
I invite Valerie to come up now.
We're a tall family. Yeah.
We'll put it back for children.
Hello, everyone. My name's Valerie, and I'm Kathy's niece. When I was writing this, I was thinking about how difficult it was for me to think of specific dates or characteristics to share with you today, because my Aunt Kathy had such a profound effect on my life, and I'm sure on all of your lives as well. Many of you may not know this, but my father was not involved in my life, and my aunt graciously stepped into the role of my second parent. And I'm so happy to say that I have so many fond memories, but due to time, I will only be sharing a few. But I will gladly swap stories with any of you whenever you'd like to talk about her. My first memory that I would like to share today is that of the children's choir directed by Aunt Kathy at this very church that I was a member of for over 10 years. She was loved by so many here at First Presbyterian Anaheim, and it was amazing to see the different ranges of ages that showed unending support and love for her in her time of need. She loved you all so much, and our family is so thankful for everything you all have done. I remember our life together in this church, and it brings me so much joy to think about our little routines. Every Sunday, she would come pick me up, and we would get breakfast from McDonald's, or she would make me toast if she was running a little late. And I would eat while we practiced songs that the choir was set to sing that day, whether that be an ensemble or some duet. We would practice these songs over and over until we got in the parking lot, and then even more while walking up to the choir room, and then more while waiting for the rest of the choir members to show up. When the choir showed up, we would come in here, and she'd place us exactly how we'd be in the service and have us practice while she backed up along the aisle. One of those times, she fell backwards over a member's suitcase, and another time, she sprained her ankle on these steps. These injuries never discouraged her from getting back out there and doing the exact same thing to ensure the entire church could hear every one of our little voices. She was so passionate about the choir and this church and so proud of all her choir members. Every year, Aunt Kathy would throw two sleepovers, as she mentioned, one for the kids' choir and one for the young adult choir. I usually got to go to both, so I was lucky enough to see Psycho when I was a child, but that's another story. My point is, she was patient enough to allow a bunch of children to come into her house and read to them to sleep, and protective enough to watch over the young adult crowd. Continuing with the First Presbyterian Church comes the memories of Easter and Christmas, and the fact that I had a brand new tailor-made twirly dress on each of these holidays, and oftentimes we would be matching. Aunt Kathy would always take me to the fabric store and have me pick out a dress that I liked from the magazines on the table. When I had made my selection, we excitedly skipped to the pattern that matched the dress and had so much fun walking around the store trying to find a fabric that matched the one in the magazine. Those days at the fabric store will forever be some of the happiest days of my life, and road trips with my mom and my Aunt Kathy will forever be the greatest part of my childhood. I was so fortunate to be able to grow up with the aid of such strong, wonderful women. Each of them took out a summer of their lives to take me around the country so I could see all the beautiful things America has to offer and meet the wide variety of human life that inhabits it. We traveled to every state in the United States, even if we just drove through it for a bit. Every night we would sleep in a motel of some sort, usually a Best Western, and we would play rack rummy until I had to go to bed. I remember always being comforted by the sounds of my mom and my aunt laughing and telling family stories while I fell asleep. They would drink Malibu rum and pineapple juice, and I was only allowed to have pineapple juice, but I still felt really special. A lot of our trips consisted of visiting my grandparents, Henry and Janice Wagner, in Arizona. These trips had too many memories to share, but they were definitely interesting and so much fun. When Aunt Kathy and I would go up there by ourselves, she would let me stay out a little later than my mom would, and this would allow me to fall in love with the desert at night when the temperature goes down to a refreshing 89 degrees and the stars come out. Even with all these amazing memories in our lives, I still had pretty hard times in my childhood, and Aunt Kathy helped remind me how to be happy in those times. When my aunt would pick me up from school, which would happen a lot because my mother was working and going to school, we would sing every oldie you could imagine, from Michael Jackson to Elvis to the Eagles. And I don't know how many of you are familiar with John Denver's songs, but I assume you at least know who he is if you're sitting here today. John Denver had a song called "Some Days Are Diamonds, Some Days Are Stones." And every day Aunt Kathy would greet me with that big smile of hers and ask me if I had a diamond day or a stone day. And of course, being the jubilant adolescent that I was, I would always say that I had a stone day. She would take the whole drive home to ask me what happened in my day to make it a stone day, and then proceed to try to spin every negative into a positive. By the time we got to her house, she had changed my answer. If she had not, she proceeded to shake my shoulders and say, "Stop it, Valerie, stop it, stop it, Valerie, stop it," which always made me laugh. I don't know who could pout through something like that. When we got home, she would fix me a snack and make me drink a glass of milk. And this is where I would beg for her to let me make chocolate milk, and she would always cave and let me put in what I felt like the tiniest amount of chocolate sauce ever. The mixing was always supervised because she knew I had a sweet tooth and I was a sneaky kid. While eating, I would do my homework at her dining room table while she sat in the sewing room to work on that week's project. I'll never forget the sound of that sewing machine. Being a borderline millennial, I would always look for the easy way out of a problem. So whenever I did not understand a word in my homework assignment, I would yell out, "And Kathy, what does this word mean?" To which I would always get the same answer: "Look it up, Valerie." And I would see her come into the dining room with a massive dictionary. This dictionary. I absolutely hated this dictionary. It felt like the bane of my existence at the time. I would refuse to even open it, and she would stand there next to me until I did. The only thing I really wanted to do was to go lay on the couch in her sewing room and watch the Golden Girls with her until my mom came to pick me up. She never let me take the easy way out. She showed me how to be resourceful in a time that resourcefulness was fading away. She forced me to put just a little extra effort into my work so I could completely understand what I was working with. The smell of this dictionary is so comforting to me, and I'm so thankful for her relentless parenting tactics. I never imagined that this day would come because Kathy Wagner never admittedly got sick. She understood the importance and the need to carry on even when you feel like quitting, and this made her seem immortal in a way, at least to me. Since she passed, I've felt her with me, keeping my head up and pushing me forward, so in a way she will always be here with each one of us. It is our duty to not let the little things she did die. I will quote the bumper sticker she predominantly displayed on her refrigerator and say, "Practice random acts of kindness and senseless acts of beauty." This was a small reminder to be good to one another each day, and I've written it on my mirror in hopes that I can emulate her kindness. From making my dresses to making me Pepsi cake on my birthday, or the cream corn that I love for Thanksgiving, and calling me every Thanksgiving morning with that incessant gobble, gobble, gobbling, my life will not be the same without her here on Earth, and I'm sure none of your lives will be the same either. There's never been a year in my life that I have not received a birthday card from her, which is something so small, but she never missed one. Even when she got sick, where most people in this world would very reasonably stop exerting such caring acts for others to focus on their health. I am positive that she made so many of you feel this same way with the little things she did to try to make you happier in your everyday life. She is survived by her immediate family, consisting of two sisters, Lynn and Charlotte, her brother, Bruce, her nieces and nephew, and close cousins. Kathy also cared for Rachel Beeman's children after she passed. She is also left by several friends that have become family. I would like to take this opportunity to thank her on everyone's behalf and let her know how much we love her. I would like to personally thank her for showing me how to be happy, teaching me how to be more of a lady, and showing me one of the strongest women I have ever known. I will love you forever. One more thing. When I was doing homework at her house one day, I found a poem on her desktop that was titled "My Favorite Poem." I would like to leave you with this poem. It's titled "He Wishes for the Cloths of Heaven," and it's written by William Butler Yeats. Had I the heaven's embroidered cloths, enwrought with golden and silver light, the blue and the dim and the dark cloths of night and light and the half-light, I would spread the cloths under your feet. But I, being poor, only have dreams. I have spread my dreams under your feet. Tread softly, because you tread on my dreams. Thank you.
Invite Joan. We're now moving to friends. Joan, can you come and speak?
Yeah. You and Tracy get back.
Anyway, I don't know if I could talk. Everybody sounded so good, I sound terrible.
No, you don't.
Anyway, Kathy and I were best friends. We were friends for almost 50 years. We worked together at Anaheim Memorial. I gotta stop crying. We worked together at Anaheim Memorial, Friendly Hills, and U.S. Labs. Kathy never had children of her own, but when her best friend Rachel Beeman passed away of a brain tumor, she moved into Rachel's house and took care of Rachel's children, John and Ann, and Rachel's mother. She was in her 20s. And she was in her 20s. The children were in grade school and junior high. Okay, I'm going to be okay now. We worked in the lab, and I trained Kathy to do histology. We went on many trips together. We also took the kids and their friends to Palm Springs every summer after school was out, and they still remember those fun times we had. Kathy and I went to England, Scotland, and Wales with the Presbyterian Church. We took our families on whale watching trips and with the church also. Kathy's real passion was sewing. She was a wonderful seamstress. She made my daughter's wedding dress and among many others. She was also a great musician. She played the piano. She also gave my daughter piano lessons. She directed the church choir, the children's choir, and was also in the chancel choir. Kathy didn't know the word no. Whenever anyone asked her to volunteer, she was always there to pitch in. She loved dogs. When her aunt Lola passed away, she kept her dog until it died. Lola wanted her dog to be buried with her. Kathy had the dog cremated and buried with Aunt Lola. When Kathy's mom and dad went to a board and care home, Kathy took care of that dog until it passed away. Kathy had two dogs of her own, Bitsy and Bentley. Bitsy was taken by her niece Valerie. Bentley was a rescue greyhound. He was adopted by Kathy's friend, Jill's friend, and seems to be doing well. I'm sure Kathy is smiling in heaven because the dogs were her life. Kathy and I would talk on the phone almost daily. She was my very best friend, and I'm gonna miss her so much. I'm sure God had a good reason to take her so soon. We will be missed. She will be missed by many. Thank you.
And finally, Tracy's working her way from the choir and around.
You are right. Being last is not wonderful. I can do it. Kathy radiated love and light in and around everyone she came in contact with. I look around the sanctuary at all that are here today. My goodness, representing just a few of the many facets of her remarkable life. Gosh, there are family members, and I mean, if I had to raise your hand, I mean, you all intersect. Family members, First Presbyterian Church family, choir kids, lab colleagues, doctors, Chamber of Commerce members, seamstress clients, neighbors, musicians, magicians, postal carriers, hemopet friends, florists, diving and sailing buddies, gardeners, the list goes on. Well, that's the amazing testament to the fabric of Kathy. Both Kathy's and my family moved from the Midwest and started attending this church around the same time period. Being that I was 10, and she was a much older woman of 14. I just looked at her from afar and aspired to grow up as lovely and elegant as she. When we really started hanging out in my 20s, my opinion didn't waver. I remember one time she was running toward a Cadillac convertible. Just picture it. In her high heels. Always in high heels. Hopping in and with a wave and her chiffon scarf. Going off the back, floating behind her, speeding off into the sunset with her boyfriend. I mean, you can't make this up. Wow. Actually, I've spent most of my adult life going, wow, when it came to my friend Kathy. I'm hardly unique in this. We all have our endearing Kathy stories or Kathy-isms that make us laugh and sometimes shake our heads a little bit. Most of them stories that Kathy herself would gladly retell. She was the best storyteller of all, especially over dinner and a good glass of wine, or maybe two or three. Maybe some of these examples resonate with you. I'm going to present this as a sort of dialogue. Number one, Kathy. Hi, how are ya? Me. Can I help you put away your Christmas decorations? Kathy, no. You'll just get mad at the way I wrap each individual decoration and place them in the OCD labeled boxes. I'd rather do it myself. Number two, me. Why are you driving in the exit? Kathy, because it's easier. Don't be such a rule following worrywart. Yeah, I was worse than she. Number three, Kathy, We're going to Bruce's concert. Now, you're not going to like this, but you need to wear your concert black so that we can just walk in with the orchestra. Me. Oh, man. Let's just buy tickets. Well, you know what? Usually walking in worked out fine, except for the time we walked onto the edge of the stage and there were no stairs to get down. Well, I drew the line at jumping off the stage, but I'm sure she did it in her high heels. Number four, what are you doing in that hazmat suit? Kathy, I'm insulating my attic. Hotter than blazes up there. I'm sure she said more than blazes, but just like her to DIY everything. She'd do a roof, take off the popcorn ceiling, refinish floors, she did everything. And even paint, she'd have a little party and she'd go, I gotta paint the house. But what, before the party? Yep. Number five, me. Kathy, why did you agree to sail to Catalina on a boat with no safety equipment? Kathy, well, she wanted me to, and I couldn't really say no. She's not getting any younger, you know. How was I to know that her idea of life-saving was jumping into the ocean with our purses attached to two boogie boards? Number six, me. Why don't you ever want to go with us on our choir retreats? I really want you to go. Kathy, going to the mountains means wearing ugly shoes. That's never going to happen. Number seven, me. Make sure you tell me when it's my turn to go with you to do your treatments at UCLA. She goes, oh, I will. I want to drive in the carpool lane. Thanks. Number eight, me. You promised what, Kathy? Do you even know how to say the word no? Kathy, well, I promised I'd clean out a friend's house and a garage when she passes on. She's too embarrassed, and she only really wants me and maybe you and Bruce and, of course, Leslie to help. Well, soon thereafter, the nightmare began involving dust, mold, rats' nests. We could go on. And wait a minute, Bruce, where were our hazmat suits? That's what I want to know. Number nine, me. What's your schedule for this week? Kathy, well, I've got session, 3 committee meetings, 3 bridal consultations, and have to finish 8 bridesmaid dresses in the next 3 days. Sleep is a waste of time. Me, what? How can you get that done? What are you doing now? Oh, I'm just sitting in the backyard watching my hummingbirds, working on my LA Times crossword puzzle, and my dogs are running around. This is heaven. Want to hear your horoscope? You know that song, How Do You Solve a Problem Like Maria, the line in it that asks, how do you hold a moonbeam in your hand? I think of Kathy like that. I couldn't keep up. And I certainly couldn't grab hold of and harness for myself her elusive bundle of energy, no matter how hard I tried. Final number 10. Me, answering the phone. Hello, Kathy. Tracy, go outside right now. Look at the moon. It's breathtaking. Me, oh, I will. Thanks. I love you, Kathy. Kathy, I know. I love you, too. Now, cold look. You know, maybe none of our hands were ever meant to hold this Kathy moonbeam. Maybe we were just meant. To marvel at her generosity, beauty, and energy for just a while. Continue sharing that light with those we love, like Valerie said. And carry that glowing memory in our hearts always, till we meet again. And she would say to all of us, I know, I love you too. Go outside and look.
So now it's some of your turns. We're not going to take a lot of these because we've got a reception that will be happening after the service where we'll be able to share Kathy's stories and Kathyisms. But if there are a few Kathy stories and Kathyisms that someone would like to share right now, we would have this opportunity. There's a hand up right there.
Hi.
Is it on?
Looks like
yep, it's on. Just one, right two. Into it.
Are we in? Okay.
Yeah, we're good.
I'm Jim Blades. I was the interim pastor here before Kim came. And all the things that have been said about Kathy, she was one of the most remarkable people I have ever met in a church. Number one, a big piece of her heart belonged to this congregation. And she suffered with the disappointments and celebrated the triumphs of this church for a lot of decades. But let me tell you something about Kathy that impressed me the most, and that is her way of embracing change. You know, we get a certain age, I'm at a certain age, where it becomes more difficult for me to respond to the changes that happen, particularly the ones I don't like. I was amazed at the way that Kathy responded to each one of the changes that were handed to her while I was here. She was the person that put together the nursery of the church and furnished it for years. She oversaw and supervised. It wasn't the nursery then, it was the wedding room. And then it became the nursery, and the way that she adapted to that change after all those years of dedicating herself to the wedding room, when it became a nursery, she didn't like it, but she said, okay, it's time. The other thing was the youth choir, the children's choir, which was diminishing in recent years because things change and things happen. And so we proposed changing the youth choir room into a Sunday school room for three churches on this campus. That was tough for her, but once again, she embraced it. And every time she got news that was disappointing in terms of her health in this last struggle she had with cancer, I just was amazed at the way she didn't like the news she got, but in an optimistic and positive way, she embraced that change every single time. And I'm just amazed at this woman. She's one of the most remarkable people I've ever met in all my years in ministry. That's all I have to say.
Thank you, Jim. Here you go, Chris.
Kathy, we need you to set the thermostat in the sanctuary. Hello, my name is Chris Coleman. At a time when I was youth director at Anaheim First Press, I came to church early one Sunday morning to find, as usual, Kathy and her choir at the front of the sanctuary rehearsing. And I noticed the young lady that was singing the solo that morning, Carolee Connor, was singing without a microphone. And I walked up to the front and I said, Carolee, you need a microphone. Bad idea. Kathy said, Chris, you're the youth director. I'm the choir director. Carolee does not need a microphone. Go do something, youth, or sit down. I looked at Kathy and I said, yes, dear. And I sat down. And she was right. Carolee did not need a microphone. And she sounded wonderful, as did every Sunday that Kathy's choirs sang. It is great to see many of Kathy's kids here today. We remember Kathy. Her kids will always remember Kathy. Remember, Kathy, your best days are still ahead of you. And though it was never said enough, let me say it again. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, Chris.
Yes.
We're going to have a time of fellowship and after the service, and I think this will be a wonderful time for these stories to be told. If you're not aware, one of the tributes of Kathy you can see all around. The flowers up here are given by floral companies that she used for church ordering. They just sent flowers to this service. The trombone ensemble here are all people, are all gentlemen who said, we just want and lady want to give this to Kathy. They're doing this out of their heart. Ellie Choate, Greg Adamson, the choir, everybody is here because of all that Kathy has given to us. It was a desire to give back to her. So I'd invite the trombones to lead us in a time now.
Thank you.
Thank you. Kathy was clearly a blessing. As we have heard, she could be a bit stubborn at times. She was a worrier. She definitely liked to have things her own way. Technology simply baffled and frustrated her, but there was no one who could be counted on more when the chips were down. She was an amazing friend, a protective big sister to Bruce, a beloved aunt, a pillar of this congregation, a rescuer of the lost, both human and canine, a fierce opponent of cancer, a deep lover of life and music, an adventurer, an artist, a compulsive caretaker, our sister in Christ, and a beloved child of God. It is clearer than in our lives, as well as many other lives, Kathy will be missed. But that's the way it should be. For what would it say about her life if her passing left no void in our life? So yes, we grieve. Of course we grieve. We have lost a beloved sister, aunt, and friend. Our world is less beautiful by her passing, but ultimately, grief is not what we are here about today. Paul, in his letter to the Thessalonians, writes, "I would not have you grieve as those who have no hope." Notice, he doesn't say, "I would not have you grieve," period. Of course we grieve. Grief is the appropriate response to a loss such as this. But grief doesn't have the last word. The last word today belongs to hope. For death cannot kill hope. God's promise to meet us in our loss, to comfort us, to wipe away our tears. Kathy experienced this truth in her own life. She loved God and she knew that God loved her. God was her source of strength in her battle with cancer. She understood that God was with her in all of the ups and downs of life. She didn't want to die. She did everything she could to not die this young. She loved life, and her goal had been to live to be 120. But she knew, and would want all of us to know as well, that death is not the end. She trusted that God would raise her up to life everlasting. And now Kathy is not only alive, but whole and restored and at peace. That is the source of our hope. Yes, we are sad, but we are also thankful and hopeful. A traveler to the Holy Land recalls a moment when she was reminded of this truth. She writes that a morning sky arched over the little garden like a gray umbrella. I stood in a group of tourists at the garden's edge beside a tall stone wall. We stared at the wall, joined in quietness. It was not an ordinary wall. Hewn in the stone was a narrow door, and inside a first century tomb, believed to be the tomb of Jesus. The onlookers filed inside, a solemn little procession. I stood back, looked at the wall. High up in the cracks of the stone were wiry skeletons of a few dead branches. It was my turn to enter. I ducked my head and stepped into the hollow room. It was empty, chilled, and dark. Suddenly I felt sad, sensing something of death's bleakness. As I stepped out, I looked over my shoulder, and just above his tomb, bursting from a tiny crack in the cold, gray, lifeless wall, was a cluster of shining clover. Living green clover. I couldn't imagine how I missed it going in, except that I'd been staring at the darkness through the door. Yet above, a clump of gentle clover. It hallowed the door like a breath of life, and it seemed to whisper, "There is life beyond this tomb. Step out, look up, there is life." That is our promise today. That out of the darkness of death, pain, and suffering, God brings life. We have a choice. We can stare at the darkness and see nothing beyond the bleakness of our loss, or we can look up and step out and move forward in confidence that death does not have the last word. The last word belongs to God. The last word belongs to life. And so we hope because there is life and because God is with us through it all. God will meet us in our grief to bring us comfort and to wipe away all tears from our eyes. And God will raise us up so that we will once again be together. God will give us faith so that we can claim with assurance the promise which Kathy trusted, which she is now experiencing face to face. Death is swallowed up in victory. And we can proclaim with the Apostle Paul, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Amen. I'd invite Ellie to come forward and play, and we're going to not say the 23rd Psalm together, but if you want to read through those words of promise and assurance, please feel free to do that as the music plays.
I invite you now to a time of prayer. I'll begin our prayer and offer some time of silence, and we'll close together with the Lord's Prayer. So let us prepare our hearts for prayer. Eternal God, before whom generations rise and pass away, we praise you for all of your saints who, having lived this life in faith, now live eternally with you. Especially, we thank you for our beloved Kathy, whose baptism is now complete in death. We praise you for the gift of her life, for all in her that was good and kind and faithful, for the grace you gave her, for the love and the encouragement she gave to each of us, for her good sense of humor, her joyful playfulness, her passion, her strength, her determination, her deep care of friends and family, her dedication to this church, for the example that she has given us of a life well lived, a life that encourages us to live life fully and to love one another. We do thank you that for Kathy, death is past and pain has ended, and that she has now entered the joy that you have prepared through Jesus Christ our Lord. And gracious God, we ask you for comfort and assurance as we grieve. Look graciously upon us, and may your Spirit fill us with love and fill us with peace. And Lord, we now offer our own silent prayers. Loving God, hear these prayers as we pray together as your Son taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.